actually, I have to say, it wasn't the article I planned to write. I wanted to write about Thomas Mertens, on to remember him on the 50 years of his death. I wanted to remember him with gratitude because he has been an inspiration for me throughout my life through his writings. So I thought it was a good way to show gratitude and perhaps to introduce him to perhaps younger generations who wouldn't have known about him. But as I brushed up to do my research, I discovered that, much to my surprise, is that the issue of his death was actually quite controversial, in terms that perhaps it wasn't as accidental as it had been reported. Now, in the article, I did leave it with a question mark. But in conscience, I could not mention it, although I had to say I did hesitate. I would have been happier to stay with the spiritual legacy of Thomas Merton, and there was, I suppose, enough controversy in his life without having to go down the route of examining what happened at his death or not. But in conscience, I felt I had to say there are very serious questions, and that's what it is.
The fact that there are those serious questions, and even the suggestion that maybe the CIA were involved, and it shows that his words were really affecting people. He was a man who was really touching people and really getting people thinking.
Yes, and you have to cast your back to, and most of us can't because we're too young or weren't born at all, but in America, in the US, you know, in the 60s, there were very tumultuous times. There was very much the issue of a racial injustice and the civil rights. Thomas Merton was a very strong proponent of equality for black people, and that was very, very controversial. And he took a very strong stance, so that didn't make him popular with a lot of the establishment. And then he also was a very strong opponent of war, and we were obviously in the throes then of the Vietnam War, and he was a very strong opponent of nuclear armament, and of course there was the armament race, and the nuclear threat was very real. So he denounced those very vocally, and he also supported people who were activists on the grounds, like the Berrigan brothers, who were priests, one of them was a Jesuit, Daniel Berrigan. So they were supported by him, and so through his writings he was a very influential voice. We must remember also, I mean, he died December the 10th, 1968. Earlier in the year, Bobby Kennedy was assassinated and Martin Luther King were assassinated. This was a time when inconvenient people were assassinated. There certainly were plenty of people who were not sad that Thomas Merton's voice had been silenced forever, as they thought. He was a disturber of the peace, a peace which was not the peace of God, the peace of Christ. It was a false peace. It was really the status quo, and the status quo wanted more armament, more war, more injustice. He confronted evil, and I think he had faced into, I suppose, what he calls the unspeakable, which is the darkness and the abyss of evil, and he did confront it.
I mean, he lived a largely monastic life, or for a long period of his time he withdrew from the world, and yet he was still able to reach out so profoundly to people across the world.
Yeah, it is actually quite a paradox, is that he entered a very strict monastic order, the Trappist, at the age of 27. Now, he had been a young man who had traveled a bit around the world at the time, and had lived all of a young man's life in more, perhaps, its wilder aspects. And then he shut himself in after a religious conversion at the age of 27 in Gethsemane, a Trappist monastery, and only left the monastery to go very locally for the next 27 years, actually going to Asia, where he died near Bangkok, was his first trip abroad in 27 years. And he was in the monastery. Initially, they could only speak through sign language, because that's such a vow of silence. Obviously, that was relaxed after part of Vatican II, but then that was it. And then he was in an hermitage in the grounds of the monastery. But the paradox is that he wrote so much, plenty of time to write, I suppose, probably more than he would have if had been. And he was encouraged to write, and he got published. Now, some of his writings were censored. It's only later on that they could be published, or the full version given. But he did publish, and became so well known, mostly through his autobiography of his religious conversion. So that gained him millions of readers throughout the world. So after that, his voice was influential, and people did come and visit him. And of course, he corresponded, his letters. He wrote and corresponded. He learned also from other people. So they kept him, his correspondence kept him in touch with what was happening in the world. So he was very au fait with what was happening in the world. And he saw that, he realized very quickly on that he had not gone into a monastery to turn his back on the world. He had gone into a monastery so that he could offer more to the world from a deeper place. And he felt very strongly that it was part of his vocation, religious and monastic vocation, to give something to the world, that he belonged to the world and the world belonged to him, because it was God's world. Mm. And what happened to his brothers and sisters in the world concerned him.
What was it about his religious conversion that touched so many people at the time?
I suppose that what touched people is that, first of all, is that it was published. I suppose a lot of people would have religious conversions, but they don't write about it and get it published. Thomas Merton was a gifted writer, so he had the way that he could write about it. He also, I think it was published around 1948, came at a time, of course, after the First World War, where people also were again looking for what was in this world, meaning or whatever. And he was able to touch, I suppose, to the common quest of many, many people. Of course, it's a very personal story. It's a story of one man with his own individual life. But by exploring it and touching it and his own encounter with the divine, many people could touch into it. And as I say, it surprised the publishers. The publishers didn't think that it would be the bestseller it was. So there is always that element of surprise. But they say he did catch kind of perhaps as they say, the time, as after the Second World War, after we had discovered the Holocaust, the death camps and everything, there was a sense, what is humanity? Where is humanity going? And it tapped into, I suppose, our deepest hunger for spirituality. So I think it spoke to Catholics. It spoke more broader than Catholics. Of course, Thomas Merton afterwards was a bit ambivalent about it, because it was a young man's conversion. I mean, as he realized, conversion is an ongoing business to the day he dies. So his image of God did change hugely, and at the same time remained. This was the seed. So it was a very potent seed contained in that book, and of course he nourished and cultivated it and everything. And I think that's what people realized, that there is underneath it all, there was something very, I suppose, true, the deepest truth. And I think whatever is true resonates across countries and across generations and becomes like, kind of a classic. And I think that's what it is. It's some people compared it a bit to St. Augustine's, confessions, that people again realize how God can reach, the divine can reach somebody. Thomas Merton also had an interesting life. That's also made the conversion. Well worth reading. It's a bit of a novel or thriller. You wonder, where is he going to go with that or not? Again, like, you see, that's it. There is that element of unusual. He wasn't kind of a normal candidate to enter a monastery.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't a holy Joe. I mean, he'd obviously lived very much a life before he did this. So you wrote this article in the Irish Times about him, and you were hoping that younger people and younger seekers of truth would discover him and would find him. I mean, do you think he can still speak to generations, to younger people today who are looking for meaning in the world?
Yes, I think that some of what he wrote still will resonate very much, because sadly, we still have very much a lot of violence in our world, a lot of injustice. Thomas Merton also had a deep, like all mystics, he was a prophet and a mystic. And also he had that relationship with the world around him. And he had, I think, even when we do care for our planet and realize how interdependent we are with all that lives, Thomas Merton had an insight into that as well. I think he has a beautiful saying, I remember, which touched me years ago, is that God speaks to us through the trees. You know, in the trees he could hear God speaking to him. So I think there's plenty. I mean, he has written a lot, and a lot is available. And I think there's plenty for all people, really, and whether Catholics or Christians or even people just people with searching for meaning or a sense of spirituality on what the world is about. He has a lot to offer because he was a pioneer. I mean, he really was a pioneer. So I think even a lot of us haven't even caught up to where he was when he died in 68. He was pushing out boundaries and with his interfaith dialogue and his search into Zen and... He was interested, I think, in all dimensions of life and, of course, art as well. So if people are interested in art, he had a lot in that dimension as well. And he had a sense of humor as well. Part of it also is that he just was very able and very honest about describing what was happening inside him. So I think that's what makes him quite accessible. Because he didn't gloss over his feelings or whatever. So people won't just get pious words and when he could write about himself and he could write about his sexuality and how he still, I mean, the monk still has a sexuality right up to the time he died. So he could write about his feelings or his ups and downs and everything. So his search for God did not bypass his humanity. It was in the midst of his humanity that he found God. And in the midst of the world, the very human world and that he lived. I think that connects across the ages. I mean, he was dead by the time I discovered him as a young teenager, and he has remained, you know, a source of inspiration, I think, for a lot of people. So that's why I was hoping that some younger people would discover him and perhaps older people who had kind of left him aside might go back and say, he certainly would have a lot to say to his fellow Americans, I'd say now, but that's it. I'd say his spirit does live on. So I am very grateful for Thomas Merton. He helped me when I was a very young teenager through his writings and provided some light for my journey, and I just wanted to show my gratitude to Thomas Merton for that light and hope that others would benefit from it.